You know, Labor Day is one of those holidays that's always appreciated but rarely understood. I mean, what is it? Is it a weekend to watch lots of college football? That is, unless you have Spectrum. Or is it a weekend to hop in the car and go to the beach? Or is it a weekend to just sort of kick back and go see what sales are down at the mall? Well, Labor Day is actually observed on the first Monday in September, as we know, and it's a celebration of all the social and cultural achievements of American workers. And during this long weekend, we're able to rest from our work and be grateful of how it gives our lives meaning and purpose. Yet even so, there are some things that we don't ever seem to rest from. There are some things that are always on our hearts and our minds, no matter where we are or what we're doing. And those things are fear, worry, and dread. In recent years, our world's given us an abundance of things to be fearful of and worried about, hasn't it? Whether it's war, COVID, social unrest, natural disasters, or school shootings, there's been no shortage of worrisome world events to keep our spirits unsettled. And that's not to mention more of some of the more acute struggles that many of us face in our personal lives. Sometimes the troubles that weigh heaviest on our hearts and minds are the ones that we face at home, work, school, and even the doctor's office. At times, these worries are so real and so in our face that we can't ever seem to look beyond them. We can't believe that things will ever get better, and we buy into the lie that things will only get worse. Yet even into the midst of this dread and despair, Christ walks into the midst of our chaos, stands by our side, and gives us an unimaginable hope. Today's sermon is about fear and faith and Jesus' power to take people from one to the other. And it's my prayer that this message will give you the strength you need to face your fears and to find hope in the midst of hopelessness. Would you pray with me as we get started? Lord, thank you for always being with us, even in those moments when we're overwhelmed by fear, worry, and dread. Lord, we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, your soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, and you cried out to your Father for help. We come before you now doing the exact same thing. We're crying out for help. We're longing after hope. And most of all, we're seeking your face. Be near to us as we read your word and grant us the help and hope we need today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first passage of scripture that we're going to read this morning comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And beginning in verse 21, it says this. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Now, as we've already mentioned, this story is about fear and faith and the power of Jesus to take people from one to the other. And in this particular passage, the person going on that journey is a man named Jairus. As the Bible tells us, Jairus was a man who served as the leader in his local synagogue there in Capernaum, which is where Jesus lived after leaving Nazareth. And while we today might think of having Jesus in our town as a really great blessing, Jairus wasn't convinced. After all, Jesus brought all kinds of unwanted attention with him, and many of the locals didn't agree with the things that he was doing and saying. So rather than embracing Jesus or just outright shunning him, Jairus decided instead to keep him at a safe distance. Because to Jairus, Jesus was nothing more than an eccentric and overzealous Jew who said outrageous and impossible things that were too good to be true. I mean, surely the desperate people who believed in what Jesus was saying would soon forget him, and then life in Capernaum would return to normal. But life wouldn't return to normal, would it? Because here, as our scripture opens, Jairus' life is turned upside down by an unimaginable tragedy. His 12-year-old daughter has taken a turn for the worse, and it seems like she's about to die. And while scripture doesn't paint the picture for us, we can easily imagine Jairus' desperation as this story begins. As an important leader in his community, surely he had tried everything he could to make his daughter well, but nothing had worked. She was getting worse by the hour, and all hope seemed to be lost. But then, word arrives that Jesus has returned from the other side of the lake, and suddenly that crazy man's crazy promises don't sound so crazy anymore. Jesus was the last best hope for this child, and Jairus was ready to do whatever it took to save her life. So rushing out to meet Jesus, Jairus pockets his pride and forgets his fears, for after all, his daughter was dying. It didn't matter what he thought before or how he was supposed to behave as the synagogue leader. This trumped all of that. So you can imagine the shock and surprise of Jairus' friends when they see this important dignitary, this important man, running up to Jesus, falling at his feet, and offering this gut-wrenching plea. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. And what does Jesus do? Does he scold this man for not believing earlier? Does he berate him for only coming to him now out of desperation and fear? No, the Bible simply says that Jesus went with Jairus. He doesn't need specifics. He didn't need to be warned. He didn't need to hear how hopeless and dire the situation was. Jairus had come to Jesus by faith, and Jesus, as always, was ready to help. Our next passage of scripture comes from Mark 5, verses 35 through 43. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child's not dead, but she's asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around, and at this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. As Jesus makes his way to Jairus' house, messengers arrive to share the worst news imaginable. It was too late. The little girl was already dead. Just when it seemed like there was a glimmer of hope thanks to Jesus, that hope was extinguished by death, leaving Jairus in a state of shock and unable to speak. Those that had come to give Jairus this horrible news told him, "Listen, you did your part. You tried to get Jesus there in time. It didn't work. So let the guy go. He's got other things to do." But Jesus, he wasn't having any of that. He wasn't about to cut and run when the going got tough. He wasn't going to leave because of how uncomfortable grief made some people. He was here to step into their grief and their pain and to bring hope. He was here to do the impossible and to bring life out of death. Instead of wandering off and taking his leave, Jesus takes Jairus, holds him close, and says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Jesus didn't say that his daughter's death was no big deal. He didn't say that Jairus was wrong for feeling the way that he did. He didn't tell him to just get over it. Jesus told Jairus that in spite of it all, don't be afraid of what comes next. Just believe. You see, Jesus didn't want Jairus' faith to be dictated by his circumstances, but to hold fast and remember that whatever came next, he was going to be right there with them no matter what. And with that encouragement, Jairus leads Jesus the rest of the way, and as they approach his house, they start to hear the familiar sounds, the familiar cries, and the familiar shouts. Because as with most cultures around the world, there were well-established Jewish rituals that these communities followed whenever someone died. Seemingly within minutes of a person's death, professional mourners would arrive weeping and wailing along with musicians who would play sad and mournful songs. Such rituals made it possible for family members to vent their feelings without restraint or embarrassment. Because as we know today, it is extremely unhealthy to try and bottle up all the grief and pain that we are feeling. And for the people of Capernaum at this time, they preferred to just get on with it and let it all out. While such rituals might have been helpful in this regard, Jewish mourning customs were designed to stress desolation and the final separation of death. In these rituals, hope didn't factor into it at all. And it was this part that Jesus couldn't stand. Because he hadn't come to be defeated by the world's problems, grief, and pain, but rather he'd come to overcome that pain by bringing hope to the hopeless. Walking up to the house, Jesus confronts all these mourners and just tells them to chill out. The girl's not dead, he says. She's only sleeping. And what did the crowd do? Oh, well, of course, they laughed at him. After all, this was Jesus. This was the local man accustomed to saying outrageous and impossible things. And nothing was quite as outrageous as telling these people that a dead girl wasn't actually dead. But their mocking voices didn't bother Jesus. After all, he wasn't here to do what they wanted him to do. He was here to do God's will. So leaving the skeptical onlookers behind, only a handful of people follow Jesus into the room where Jairus' daughter is. Because at this time and place, most people refuse to get near a dead body, let alone touch it. Since contact with a corpse was one of the main sources of impurity in the Jewish law. But again, we ask the question, does Jesus care? Is he worried? Is he afraid? Absolutely not. Instead, taking the little girl by the hand, Jesus says, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately, the girl stands up and begins to walk around, and after doing so, Jesus tells all these amazed onlookers to give her something to eat. These onlookers, the same onlookers who'd gathered to mourn, the ones who had gathered to extinguish any semblance of hope, the ones who had just moments prior completely written Jesus off. There was no greater witness to the promises of God than making these unbelieving onlookers come face to face with the impossible. To see hope come out of the most hopeless situation imaginable. Jesus had taken Jairus on a journey from fear to faith by leading his daughter from death to life. And by doing so, Jesus proclaimed hope to those who'd gathered to grieve, but instead found themselves feeding a living, breathing miracle. Today's story illustrates God's ability to bring hope out of the most hopeless of situations and encourages us today to keep the faith when times get tough. And you know, that's a recurring theme throughout the pages of Scripture because God knows how hard this life can get and how easy it is for all of us to lose hope at times. After all, Christ walked among us and lived the kind of life that we live. He knew pain and persecution. He knew grief. He knew what it was like to be afraid. through stories like these. We're reminded how ordinary men and women like us were able to face their fears and overcome their adversities, not by depending upon their own strength and abilities, but through a humble and sincere faith, much like Jairus's, that was able to see them through. Speaking of Jairus, he had every reason to give up, go home, and join the pity party, didn't he? After all, he'd done all that he could do and even went out of his way to find Jesus. But in the end, that didn't change a thing. And his daughter still died. But what did Jairus do then? Even in the midst of unimaginable pain and grief, he listened to Jesus and he found the strength to keep on believing no matter what. Friends, I want that kind of faith, don't you? I want the kind of faith that can cut through the noise and confusion of our world. I want the kind of faith that can overcome my worries and fears. I want the kind of faith that can lead me from death to life. But that kind of faith isn't easy, is it? It's hard. It's hard to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with hope in our hearts. It's hard to read the news every day and not think that this world's going straight to hell. Yet somehow, some way, we can do all of those things because of who walks with us. As we're reminded in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When we're walking with Jesus daily, we not only find the strength to carry on, but we also find a new way of looking at the world around us. A new way that doesn't disregard the problems and pain that affect so many, but one which constantly reminds us that Jesus has and will overcome it all. For as Jesus himself tells us in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. On a weekend where we're able to rest from our labors, it's good for us to remember where true rest comes from. And it comes from laying our worries and fears at the foot of the cross and trusting in the promises of God to bring us a lasting peace. A lasting peace that isn't dependent upon anything that we do or that the world does to us, but a peace that is firmly rooted in the promises of God. A God who came into our world to share in our suffering and to bring us from death to life. A good and gracious God who looks beyond our sins and offers all of us comfort, rest, and hope. In Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus extends this invitation to our tired and hopeless world. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today, we've come to be reminded of the promises of God and to receive the rest that Christ provides. And thank God we have. Because week after week, we endure our fair share of troubles and trials, don't we? Week after week, our world gives us more reasons to abandon all hope. Week after week, our faith strains under the weight of our worries and our fears. And yet, week after week, we find ourselves drawn back to this place to reaffirm our faith in God. We come to celebrate all the unlikely and impossible things that he's already done for us and to look forward in hopeful of anticipation of all the things he has yet to do. Friends, we serve a mighty God who's done great things for us and who's given us a hope that our fears and worries can never take away. A hope that literally reaches beyond the grave to bring all of us who believe in him from death to life. Let's rest in that faith today and every day as we remember these powerful words from 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Would you pray with me? God, how grateful we are for the hope, peace, joy, and love we find in you. We thank you for the promises in your word that offer us life out of death and peace out of chaos. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to Jairus and his daughter and how that faithfulness impacts us to this day. Lord, as we look ahead to the troubles and trials that await for us as we walk out these doors in a few moments, we know, Lord, that we do not face them alone. We know that you go with us, that you face them with us, and Lord, you overcome them all on our behalf. For that today, we say thank you. We say thank you, and we love you, and we are so appreciative for how you have not forgotten or forsaken us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.